we'll keep working on the Sermon on the Mount. Just we'll get to the final chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7, where he will say the wise man builds his house on the rock, and that his teaching is the rock. The foolish man builds his house upon the sand, which would be leaving Jesus out of it, and that's going to collapse. He's working towards that direction. Concerning those that are going to collapse, six times, Jesus will say, "You have heard it said, but I say unto you." You have heard it said, but I have said, but I say unto you, six different times. And that is likely he's saying, you have heard it said by these scribes and Pharisees, but they are wrong. They're not going to earn their salvation. They are the ones building their house on the sand, and it will collapse because they are trying to earn salvation by religious rituals. But I say unto you, some have taken the contrast between the law of Moses and Jesus' new teaching, but I think he's still giving the law of Moses. He was still fulfilling it during his earthly lifetime. He just got through saying in Matthew 5, 17 and 18, he would not destroy the law of Moses. So he's not himself contrasting the law of Moses. He's fulfilling the law of Moses. And he's saying, this is what the law of Moses really teaches about these things. And the Pharisees all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and they're not going to earn their salvation by their good works. So if you'll come to me, come with me to Matthew 5, we will begin reading in verse 21, where he's given us the commandments. And the main one, top, is you shall not kill. But the Old Testament had 600 full commandments, not just 10. And the Pharisees weren't keeping all 600 of them, and they weren't going to earn their salvation by keeping all 600 commandments. Verse 21. Heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. Whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go to a fiery hell. Well, of course, the Old Testament said, thou shalt not kill. And that is one of the top of the greater commandments. Murder has always been the death penalty in the Bible. Before the law of Moses, during the law of Moses, after the law of Moses in the church, period. After they got off Noah's ark, there was a death penalty for murder. Genesis 9:6. Whosoever shall kill shall be killed. That's Genesis 9:6. And then it was, of course, in the law, and then in Romans 13 under the church, that the government does not bear the sword in vain, talking about the death penalty. So murder was always top sin, whichever we have pre-law, during the law, during the church. However, it always begins with hatred. And hatred might be a lesser sin, but hatred is still a sin. And the Pharisees who were listening to this sermon were very good at hating anybody that they did not agree with. They always were better than other people. They hated Jesus. Saul, before he became Paul and trusted in Jesus, he was a Pharisee and he wanted to kill all the other Christians. So, top sin, you shall not kill, but hatred is what leads to it. And hatred is also a sin. You have to be better than the scribes and Pharisees to be saved. He said that in the previous verse. just before we started reading, verse 20. You have to be surpassing the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, and they were full of hate, which fits murder. It starts with hatred, and hatred, calling a brother a fool with hatred, was even enough to cause hell. All have sinned and fallen short. Just hating somebody enough to call them a fool and really mean it, that was enough to cause the scribes and Pharisees to be liable to fiery hell. Galatians 3:10 is actually quoting Moses. So Moses said this also in Deuteronomy 27:26. Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the law. So one sin is sufficient to be a sinner. One sin causes a person to fall short of God's glory. It is a lesser sin than murder, but murder begins with hatred. He will get to verse 48. We'll try to get that far too today. Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. The Pharisees hated the law of Moses, said in Leviticus 9:18, you shall not take vengeance nor bear a grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's an Old Testament command too. And no one really keeps it all the time. And the Pharisees hated Jesus. They often hated over fighting over money. So I left that next section out. It's still about hatred, but now in verse 23 and following, an example of hatred and fighting over money, although the main point is not good enough to get to heaven. Second section, still about hatred, verse 23. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering, therefore, before the altar, and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and bring your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law. We are with him on the way, so that your opportunity may not hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you shall not come out of there until you have paid the last cent. He's talking about an altar. His original listeners were Jewish. And so many of the specific things in here apply to the Old Testament and to the Jews of his day under the law. However, it does refer to people who are going to the kingdom of heaven. So where it can apply to the church, it fits the church because Christians are also going to the kingdom of heaven, like his original listeners. And we don't have this exact same situation of bringing a gift to the temple, but we can have lots of hatred. We can have fights over money. Evidently, it is assumed by Jesus that the money was actually owed. So he's telling them, don't hate them, pay your debts. But the main point is, even the little bit of hatred, fighting over money, that is sufficient to send a person to hell unless they're built upon the rock of Jesus. Unless there is faith in Jesus, all have sinned, including calling somebody else a fool with a tone of hatred. So, Romans 12:19, never take your own vengeance, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So we can talk about paying our debts, we can talk about not hating, although Jesus' main point is, everybody does this from time to time. All have sinned. The scribes and the Pharisees weren't going to make it without getting up upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one today is going to make it without getting upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. First example, thou shalt not kill. They didn't do that. But you shall love your brother as yourself, and you shall not bear a grudge. You can't hate. Hate alone is breaking the law. All have sinned and need help with Jesus as a Savior. First sin, murder. Second sin, adultery, verses 27 and 28. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Murder begins with hatred. Adultery begins with lust. The actual act is worse, but the thought is also sin. And his point is, all have sinned. Just as every sin was in the Old Testament also, so is this. Exodus 20:17, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. So it made the top 10. Deuteronomy, second repetition of the law, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. So true, the act of adultery is worse than the thought of adultery. It's worse. On the other hand, it even made the top 10 commandments. And it was in the law of Moses. So it's not just getting to the church commandments, which it's repeated in the church commandments in the New Testament, but also was in the law of Moses. We just quoted the Ten Commandments, but Job 31, I have made a covenant with my eyes that I might not gaze upon a virgin. Proverbs 6, 25 through 28, do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. So thoughts alone are not as bad as acts, but thoughts alone are enough to say we need a Savior. And the Pharisees that were there, they hated everybody, and they were guilty of this too, and that's the main point, that mental sin is still sin, and they could not earn salvation by their good works. They would have to get upon the rock of Jesus and trust him as Savior. Verse 29 and 30 also relates to this, but I left it out because it's like saying, if we could do anything not to sin, we should do it not to sin, but it's already too late. Verses 29 and 30. And if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. Which, by the way, Jesus believed in hell. Verse 29, now verse 30. And if your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than your whole body to go into hell. Well, Jesus' point is not that we could earn salvation by cutting our eyes out or cutting our hands off. The point here is that if salvation could be by sinlessness, we should go to all extremes to be sinless. But it's already too late. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he twice said, liable to guilty hell. And it's not just the greater sin, it is also the lesser. So maybe the Pharisees didn't kill anybody, but they hated. Maybe the Pharisees didn't do adultery, but they thought about it. So already they needed to have salvation and forgiveness and could not be saved by their religion, by their acts of good works. We get to divorce now in verses 31 and 32. Kind of like, why do you bring this in? Probably because a lot of the Pharisees had been through marriage after marriage. So verses 31 and 32. It was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except for the reason of immorality makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Well, the Old Testament had all kinds of allowances for divorce, And we know from the Talmud that they had even more. The Talmud even says that they could divorce for burning the supper. That's in the Talmud. I know which book to go look it up. I didn't redo it for this sermon. But there are all these rules in the Old Testament about a divorce, and it had to be in writing. That's the main thing that the Moses quote says. It had to be in writing so that everybody knew what happened. There couldn't be an argument later about what happened. It had to be in writing. But God never likes divorce. Malachi 2:16 is also Old Testament. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. Relative to grounds for legitimate divorce, verse 32 talks about adultery. Now, that doesn't mean there has to be a divorce. I know a couple of situations that people don't go here, but they live in Amarillo where there was adultery, and they forgave each other and kept going and stayed together. It's kind of like what Hosea would have done in the book of Hosea. So Jesus isn't teaching it has to end the marriage, but if it does, and it's adultery, that is considered a legitimate reason for divorce from Jesus right here. But it looks like the Pharisees did all kinds of things. Relative to marriage, it begins in a vow, but there's vows beyond a marriage vow. So now, talking about marriage vows and all kinds of vows, verse 33 through 37. Just basically tell the truth all the time. Verse 33. And you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but you shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. I'm not talking about Jerusalem, but we've got lots of holy city, holy land. Here's another one, city of the great king. Verse 36, nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black, but let your statement be yes, yes, and no, no. Anything beyond this is evil. When we get to Matthew 26, verse 16, we'll show the Pharisees had all kinds of little tricky oaths. And they would trick people by their oaths. They would say, if you swear by the temple, you don't have to do it. You have to swear by the gold of the temple. Jesus, at the very least, is saying, don't do all these tricky oaths. Don't do routine oaths every day, every day. Pharisees were doing them all the time with all kinds of business. Now, when I was in Pennsylvania, we're all around all the Mennonites, and the Mennonites say this teaches never make any oath of any kind. And if a person wants to believe that, that's okay. I think it's saying don't make routine oaths, don't do this all the time. Paul said a couple of times, God is my witness. That's Galatians 1:20. I assure you before God I am not lying. 2 Corinthians 1:23, but I call God as my witness. So if a person wants to say, never make an oath, okay. But he could be saying, don't make routine oaths. Don't be like the scribes and Pharisees. And if you make one, make it as a vow to God, not the gold of the temple, with certain required wording. So, want to be? Never make an oath, okay. But I think Paul made an oath. And maybe Jesus was under an oath. Gospel of Mark, I adjure you, Caiaphas, you're under an oath. Tell us who you are, Jesus. And he said, I am the Son of God. So, here are all these things. Hating anybody, need a Savior. Lust, need a Savior. Divorce, need a Savior. Making a promise and not keeping it, need a Savior. Now we're talking about revenge, verse 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. And verse 41 was the Roman government. Like Simon of Cyrene, you have to carry the cross. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you. Do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. Do such a thing. There might be times you don't do it. If a man does not work, neither shall he eat. But sometimes if someone asks to borrow and you know they're not going to pay back, go ahead and do it. This is saying take no revenge of anybody. Now, I do think we can defend people from life and death situations. I do think the Bible allows that. Deliver him who is being led unto death. Proverbs 24, 11, and 12. I think it's just fine to protect somebody. But if you have a situation where the harm is over and done with, and you're safe, this is saying don't take revenge. And the main point is the Pharisees were very good at taking revenge. All have sinned and falling short. One last one till we get to the main point. Verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Now, verse 43 is interesting because actually it is a quote of the law of Moses, but they add to it. The law of Moses never said, hate your enemy. The law of Moses did say, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But then the Pharisees added, and hate your enemies. That wasn't part of the quote. They were adding to the Bible. They actually were deleting part of his commandment also, where it says, bear no grudge. They left that first part off, bear no grudge. Then they quoted, love your neighbor. Then they added, hate your enemy. What you have here is using the Bible, twisting the Bible around. And the Pharisees would twist the Bible around and legitimizing their hate, even though that's not what Moses said. Now, each time we've tried to teach what he is talking about, but his main point is everybody did wrong. That's his main point. Everybody does wrong. You have heard it said, I think the Pharisees are saying it, but I say unto you, you shall not kill. But Moses also said, you shall not hate your brother. You shall not commit adultery, but the Old Testament also said, you shall not lust. Covet your neighbor's wife, actual quote of the Ten Commandments. Moses commanded divorce be done in writing. But there's all kinds of divorces that really aren't that moral, and evidently the Pharisees had done a lot of them. You shall keep your promises to the Lord. Well, supposed to keep your promises to everybody and not use tricky oath formulas. That if it's phrased this way, you have to do it. If it's phrased that way, you don't have to do it. If you swear by the temple, you don't have to do it. You've got to swear by the gold of the temple. That's how the Pharisees did it. Far as revenge, you might protect someone from a life and death crime, but after it's over and done with, go to the police and don't take revenge yourself. Love your neighbor is in the Old Testament, but not hate your enemy. That's not in there. So the Pharisees, they said they were good enough to make it to heaven, but he goes time after time after time, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you didn't do that. Verse 48 is the punchline. Therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, we can earn our salvation by our goodness. Okay, be perfect. Just went through the list. None of the listeners were perfect. The Pharisees were very, very religious. Maybe they kept the top commandment, but they didn't do all the commandments. All have sinned and fallen short. Nobody is perfect. How do you get there? Well, he's got two more chapters. The wise man builds his house on the rock, and the rock is Jesus' teachings. How do we get to heaven? By trusting in Jesus as Savior, trusting his teachings. The Pharisees, they're going to be by sand, and they will collapse. We'll look at the beginning of chapter 6 next time. Musicians, please come.